Hallelujah. We thank God for how far he has brought us.
And I believe
that things are happening. Hallelujah. Things are happening. I believe next year we'll be getting some reports how the children are doing well. I'm sure some people will say, now I no longer pay the shabu because I have my own children.
Amen.
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 This session till around 12:30. I want us to look at another book that is coming from this Macarius Library. Some of the books look small. But what I shared with you this morning is from a small book.
And I only did
part of a chapter.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And so, though it looks small, it's loaded. And as you sit and you meditate over the word and the thoughts,
you know,
it is so much preaching material.
Who say yes?
So much study material. That helps us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because pastors, one of the things that God requires of us is knowledge. He says that he is giving his people pastors in Jeremiah. I said, so that we will feed them with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. And so a good pastor studies. And I thank God that nowadays is not dependent on one's education even. Because you see that the Bible, they are audio Bibles. Yeah, so that people who maybe reading is a challenge,
they
have a way out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The books, actually many of these books, the audios also exist.
Yeah.
Because you know how it is, that sometimes maybe our past is such that reading is difficult.
I told her, oh, my will do. I saw for you, I can kind of add ding.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes I'll encourage you also, if reading is difficult, you have been paying school fees for these, your children, for many years. Catch them every evening. They come and sit down, read a page or two to you. Won't catch them, what is your deal? But what is happening is that as they are reading for you, they are also getting the word is coming into them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I have a certain man in my church. And he's a gardener.
He
vegetables.
And
he has very beautiful vegetables. And I remember preaching about this one time. And he never even went to the tree church. He stayed in the English church. He never went to the tree church. Stayed in the English speaking church. He has never gone to school for one day. But when he heard me saying that if you cannot read, catch your child to read for you. He bought a big Bible. He'll catch his child, sit down, read to me.
No, a friend of mine said,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And today he's a leader in the church, working in the church.
Hallelujah.
So don't let it be a hindrance to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share from this, again, a little book.
A book.
Bishop Doug always says that he writes little books because he too does not like reading.
He said
the big books used to frighten him. So what he tries to do is to give you the point and a scripture that will and then maybe an example or two that makes the point come alive. But it's actually studying material for you to meditate on.
So
and in this book, top 10 mistakes that pastors make. This ministry that we are in, so many things are going on. And as he has pastored pastors over some time, he's put down 10 mistakes that he has seen us creating over and over, which at times affects us or affects our ministry. And I would like us to look at some of them. We may not finish all the 10. But I just would like to give us a taste of it. So that when you have your makaros, you open it and you find
it.
I also want to say that in most of the books, the chapters are not connected.
I'll explain.
No, these books, the chapters are not connected. I'll explain it.
Yeah, chapter 1, chapter 2, no.
They are not connected. Many books, when you start chapter 1, you must read chapter 1 to be able to understand chapter
2. Hey.
And maybe the person is building a case, so you have to read all. So before you get all the knowledge you are looking for, you would have had to read the whole book. In many of these books, you can just open the contents.
I thought I would be to share five.
And as you look at it, you pick the one that you know you think you need at that time.
Page need the contents in the hold on. I can be can one say utimi hwe no chapter 10 kura no akoka e honko an e wo
because that's the topic that you want.
I know na we hia no chapter 10 ho.
It is a complete chapter. You are not losing because you didn't read chapter 9 or chapter 8 before. Hallelujah. It's a good place to put your hands together. In other words, it's just material for us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And so, even though I'm beginning from chapter 1, you don't need to start from chapter
1.
I'll pick from different places within the book.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now, the first point that he makes over here, the first mistake, is the mistake of being slow about ministry. Slow about ministry. Sometimes the Lord brings us into a place. So let us say, as you've come to Empowerment Summit, and he's speaking to you about different things, and there are also different speakers who will come in and talk and ask. And then you can see that something in particular is stirring you. Sometimes we are too slow to act on it. So by the time you are coming to act on it, the wind has passed. And then now you are struggling. And then now you are struggling. Slowness about ministry.
Amen.
And that's how sometimes we lose what the Lord has for us. You will notice, for instance, that this morning, after we preached for some time, then I took a break. I said, let us have a break and let us go and get the books. Why? Because I could see, you know, you are a very receptive congregation. Very, very receptive.
Very receptive.
And I can feel the interest and all that. But if we had not paused and we had continued, by the end of the meeting, you may even be on your way to the table and something will cross you.
By the
time you are coming back to the
matter,
not only is the session over,
but
the summit is over, and things are gone. I'm sure you have, these things have happened to you before. And so it is also in our service of God. One day when we were in
Tamale,
Bishop Dag paid us a visit. This was at a time when Tamale was undergoing a severe stress. The Yana crisis was on. Every 2-3 days there's something. And we were under curfew for 3 years. And in the middle of this circumstance, that was when Bishop Dag decided to come and visit his churches. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we had a service. I remember that instead of doing it like an evening convention, we had to do it in the afternoon because of the curfew. Around that time, I think we had just about 10 or 12 branches. Not many
branches.
And so that day, he preached the word. And when he finished, he said, "Let me take an offering." And so he casually took the offering basket. And he just held the basket. And as he usually does, he said, "Oh, after praying, everybody with 20 cedis, bring your offering." He mentioned the amount. It wasn't a lot. But he just said, "Bring it." And that's how he takes his offering. And people started coming. 5 people, 10 people. Then he said, "Oh, I think I would like 15 people. So 5 more should come and add." But instead of 15, then 17 came. He said, "Oh, 17 is not a nice number. Like, can we do it 20? But instead of the 20 stopping at 20, then 21 people came and said, "Oh, we can't stop at 21. No, it's a funny number.
So the,
let's see, maybe 25.
Yeah, 25.
It was almost like a game. And people kept coming. Instead of stopping at 25, I got only 27. I still remember that suddenly, there was a shift in the atmosphere in the room. There was a shift. The room changed. The atmosphere changed. And then he said, "As many as bring this offering, so shall be the number of branches in the north of Ghana." And I remember it because suddenly people began to rise up from everywhere. And we kept counting until 144 people had brought that offering.
Hallelujah.
It was a wind. So after he left, then my husband said,
"Hey,
as our father says, 144 branches, let's get to work. Let's get to work." I tell you something. We began to start churches by the day. Every day, a young man will come. "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start." They were all working in the city, but these are communities around. Hello? I'm talking about slowness. Hey, and you know, I'm telling you that Tamale is the Islamic part of our nation.
Hey, Tamale dia enkramofobia pa Ghana.
But it was a wind.
Na so enframobia na ebo.
Around that time, anybody who went into any village,
obi okwa kurabia ase no.
The chief was a Muslim. His elders were Muslims. And they would go and greet. And they would say, "Please, we want to start a church." And the Muslim chief would say, "Okay." And say, you can take this place and start a church. During that time, we even had chiefs sending their people to us. One Sunday I was in the church and I saw you know, they use the royal houses have a certain towel they put over the shoulder. And I said,
ah!
I said, yeah, who are these men coming to the church? Jalabia in the town, what is going on? Quickly went to greet, please, what is it? They said, our chief has sent us to come and ask you, why have you started the church here? You have not started in our community. We are looking for you to come and start.
I don't know if I saw you. Hey.
We had never seen anything like it before. It was a wind. Whether the person going could speak the local language or not, the church worked. There were a few people. I'm coming. I have to prepare myself. I'm coming. And so they didn't move with that wind. Some of them came 6 weeks later. Some came 2 weeks later. I have to tell you, the way they sweated to find a place to get the permission. What had happened? They had been slow. By the time they were coming, the wind had passed. Man of God, sister of God, when the Lord speaks, just do it. When the Lord speaks, just do it. When the Lord speaks, just do it. Don't think too much. Don't reason too much. Don't try to make it too perfect. If you know it, you know his voice. He talks to you however he speaks to you. Whether it is through your leader, whether it is through a prayer session you are having yourself, whatever, you know his voice, please. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Time is a strange thing. We are so familiar with the scripture in Ecclesiastes 3 that there is a season for everything. And when we move at that time, you see that things will work out. Sometimes the reason your church is not growing is because you were slow to implement something God said. Maybe because it didn't look convenient. Maybe because it looked difficult. Maybe because you were already doing so many other things. But I just want to encourage you that if you know that it is the Lord talking to you, please just implement it. You have heard so much about the children. Heard so much about the children's church. Just implement it. Maybe you don't even have a meeting place for the people. But you have one or two people. Gather them and start teaching them. By the time you are done, the Lord would have done something. You were able to continue with the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us not look for perfection. Many times when the Lord is speaking, the conditions are not perfect. I'm talking to somebody today. At times we lose so much. There was a time in my life when I was offended with my spiritual father. I said I was offended with my spiritual father. I was offended. He was not happy with me and he disciplined me. And I was offended. Every time I tell this story, people say, hey, you? It was easy to remain offended because we were also far away. So I was there. So after a while, he invited me, he said, come into full time. Because he knew that I was called to full time, I also knew. But because I was offended,
Hey!
What I did not know, that delay to say yes,
it
cost me 9 years.
Hey,
9 years. I thought, oh, me chrem hu kakre bi keke. I thought I'm only doing something small, just short one. I'm hurt, so I can't come right now. For the next 9 years of my life, the circumstances of my family were such that I couldn't come full time. And you know when God is calling, you know how it is. I'm so unhappy because I knew now, hey, if I die now, I just say I'm in trouble. That was how I learned this point he's making. If the Lord speaks, do it now. If the Lord speaks, just do it now.
Yes.
That's why when our eldest son came and said, I believe that I'm called and I want to answer them. Yes, sir, answer. Our eldest son, when he said that God has called him, we didn't argue. Please, go. Second one came and said, ah, me too, he has called. Hey, please, go. Are you in the house? Because we are afraid to say, don't go, wait.
We're afraid.
Sometimes the wait can be the end. I said, sometimes the wait, when you say wait, it can be the end. You'll never get a chance again.
Ah, okay. I told her,
yeah, sometimes you don't get that chance again. The Lord is talking to you and saying, go and do a crusade in this town. And then you say, okay, Lord, I'll go. We are coming. Let me talk to the evangelism team. We don't have money. We are coming. We'll do the annual harvest. After the annual harvest, so then we'll see how it is like. We are coming.
Hey.
By the time you have everything together, the wind that the Lord was sending has moved. You may even have everything and go, but as you go, nothing is going on. Because God's call and God's sending and God speaking to us is time related.
Amen.
Amen. Many times what he's asking us to do is not easy. But if he is the one behind it, he will bless it. I was there one day. And in a time of prayer, he said, I have a prayer meeting in church. I thought it was just an all night. He said, no. I want you to do 36 hours of prayer.
I said,
how do we do 36 hours of prayer? He said, if you start at 6 a.m. on Friday, Saturday 6 p.m., that's 36 hours. I had not done some before. I had not seen some before. But I knew the voice of the Spirit. So I came to my church. I said, church, we are going to pray for 36
hours.
Hey, are you in the church?
Who of you?
Friday 6 a.m.
We
began to pray.
And we prayed.
If when we are praying, you need to go to washroom, you go. If you need to go and eat, you go. But we were praying. By 6 p.m. on Saturday, we were exhausted. Our voices had gone. We didn't have any voice. But I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something. After those 36 hours, Breakthroughs of a different kind began to happen. I remember a young girl. She had done about 34 out of the 36. That means she didn't sleep nothing, just kept praying. That girl had a twin sister. The two of them had gone to school. When they went, wrote their SHS exam, the sister passed and continued. She did not pass because she fell ill. The second year, she tried to write again. She fell ill. The third year, she tried to write again. She fell ill. Each time, the illness was this kind of high fever thing. But she had come to that 36 hours. I'm happy to tell you, after that 36 hours, that illness never returned to her life. And this girl, she went on to finish school. Today, she's a pastor's wife. Her life has moved on out of those 36 hours. I have to tell you about another young lady who also took part in that 36 hours. Towards the end of the 36 hours, I had told them, in our last hour, write down three things you want God to put in for you. And I said we will put it into a bucket, a metal bucket, and we will burn it as a sign that, Lord, we have given it to you. And anytime you remember you are worried, you say, Lord, it was a bent something before you. This young lady was a young prostitute in the town. I'm sorry to say, she was in the church, but she was a prostitute. And she wrote down her three things and benched them. About 2 years after this prayer time, I was transferred to Kumasi. I was in Kumasi when I got a text from this young lady. And she said in her text, Mommy, I am writing to remind you of the 36 hours of prayer. In those 36 hours of prayer, I asked God for three things. I asked him to help me to go back to school. I asked him, I've forgotten the second one. And the third one, she said, I asked him for an upright man to marry. Somebody with a history like this. Then she said, I am writing to tell you, I have just qualified as a nurse. Midwife.
Nurse.
And I'm writing to invite you as the preacher to my wedding. I'm getting married to this guy in the church. What had happened?
Yeah, nurse.
It was a breakthrough.
A breakthrough.
After 36 hours. And so when I came to Kumasi, and the Lord laid it on my heart again another time, 36 hours. This time I didn't ask any question. We did it Friday to Sunday. We lost our voices again.
Yes,
I have to tell you, at the time when we were doing that prayer, my church was about 400 people. But one day when I lifted up my head,
I said,
800 people were sitting in the room. And I said to my elders, my leaders, I said, where did the additional people come from? Where are they from? Till today, we have never known. The church had grown. God had grown his church because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Man of God, the things God has said to you, take courage and do them. Woman of God, the things he has said to you, take courage and do them. Do it and do it now. He's in a hurry now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our delay can be expensive. I went to do a crusade in a small village. We didn't have anything. And we went to do it. The light was a rechargeable lamp. Went around. We didn't even have chairs. We borrowed the benches from the houses.
And Islamic town.
But as I was preaching, from the corner of my eye, I saw the chief. He had given us the space in front of his palace to preach, and I saw him. He had done like he was not inside the preaching sam. That he had done as if he was not interested. And he had come to sit in front of his palace. I preached. I took note that when I was leading the people in the altar call, I could see that his lips were moving. We finished the crusade.
And
we went home. 2 days later, I was in the house when I got a call. The chief of the village is dead. The chief of the village is dead. And I knew the man had been rescued into heaven in the nick of time, 2 days before his death. If we had delayed to get proper light, if we had delayed to get a proper stage, if we had delayed to get some impressive speakers, I think you and I.
And so me to safre di pamoma fa Jesus no bibi na no oka ofa Jesus.
From today, hallelujah.
Amen.
From today,
if you neko,
when the Lord gives you something to do,
can be chiro say ya.
Please do it now.
Yen intenta pa me pa cho.
Do it now.
Yen intenta.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just take a moment and put down something you are going to do now. Something he has been speaking to you about. Maybe since Tuesday. Just put it down. That you will come back to it as soon as the summit is over. Just put it down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And remind yourself that this is what the Lord has asked you to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just waiting for people to put it down. So that you won't forget. Just to remind yourself.
Remember.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because sometimes by the end of the meeting, they are forgotten. So just put it down,
please. Hallelujah.
We can continue. The second mistake is to downplay the importance of sacrifice. We downplay the importance of sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are being saved, it is the power of Christ. One of the things that has removed power from our churches is the absence of sacrifice. People will not sacrifice on their own. They will do it only if they are taught. They will do it only if they are taught. So when we as pastors try to protect our people, from sacrificing their time, sacrificing their energy, sacrificing their effort, we raise up pampered Christians who have no power to do anything, because the power is from the sacrifice. And of all the religions, it is only in Christianity that our leader sacrificed himself for us. Only
our religion.
Hallelujah.
It
is where Christianity takes a complete departure from any other religion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No other religion can say that their leader got up one day and said that I'm going to be sacrificed for my people. And so no wonder he was trying to share it with us. In Matthew 16, Jesus
said,
if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The same thing is repeated in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But we have removed sacrifice from the church. And that is why the church is looking so powerless. Amen.
Amen.
It is time to tell our choristers, it's time to rehearse.
We are
not buying you food. No, come and do your part. That's the cost of your part. To spend your time. And your energy. In rehearsing. And if you teach them, they will do them. The reason why they are not doing is that we have not taught them. We make them feel that they are doing us a favor. At times I ask my church, when you were coming, what name did you see on the building? Did you see Joy Bruce and Sons?
Who say I sundown Joy Bruce and Joy Bruce and
no, you are not working for me. We are all working for the Lord. So I'm denying myself, you also deny yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you are not doing them anything wrong. One day, a friend of mine invited me to his church. He wanted to start training his leaders on Sundays. Remember we spoke about training yesterday.
He had
not been doing it. And he told me, he said I should come and do the first four Sundays for him, 1 hour after Sunday, 1 hour. So that it will help him to continue. I said, no problem. And he said, he's going to have to feed them lunch.
I said, lunch.
Why?
I didn't.
For 1 hour extra.
1 hour. He said, oh, lunch.
If he doesn't do it, they will complain. And I said, you leave it to me, I'm coming. Now, when I got to the church, it was in a classroom.
School them.
And in fact, he told me they had filled the classroom and spilled over, and he needed to buy land. And he was telling me that he doesn't have money to buy land because they've used it on all these kind of things. So as I was entering into the classroom, his drums was just, you know, just as I'm standing on the right. I noticed it was a very old drum. They have used things to tie it together.
Together.
So I just took note. Introduced me and I started teaching. And then I said to them, as part of the teaching,
I can't catch it anymore.
I said, I hear that for this 1 hour they have to feed you. And I asked them, so how much is a plate of food? And they said, oh, it is 4 cedis at that time. And I said, let's multiply the 4 by the number here. And multiply it by the 4 weeks we are going to be here. And when they gave the total, no? I said, that's why you are drum, no? I said, you have eaten it.
What did
you mean? I said, the drum is in your stomach.
Can you go? Oh, yeah, lunch. On training and go, you know, lunch.
And I said, so,
sir,
if we are going to have lunch,
sir, you ready lunch in India?
Everybody bring your 4 cedis. You give it to the organizer.
CD9 number.
Bring it to the organizer. He will organize lunch. Then there was an older man. He put up his hand. And he said, oh, mama, 1 hour.
1 hour.
We can be here and do it and finish and go home. It's not a problem.
1 hour,
it's not a problem. Some of you listening to me, you have made your church members eat your drums. They are eating your piano. They are eating your land. They are eating your building. If we open the stomach, the building is here. The land. Hey! All because we have not taught them.
Sacrifice.
But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oh, yes. When I give the instruction in church, Bishop Doug is having GTWC. We are going. How many are going? When you write your name, you pay your transport.
Bishop Doug,
I don't pay it for you. And when you don't have money, you are a leader.
We
bring it to the leaders' meeting. Who can help us? We have a few people who are struggling. We pay for each other. This will bring 20, 30. It's not the church money. It's not the church money. Hey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People say that Bishop Doug has money.
Bishop Doug was
papa. Is the money he has not allowed us to eat? That's what he has used to build. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As you teach them to sacrifice, they learn it. There's a book here. Losing. Suffering. Sacrificing. Dying. I know it doesn't sound like what we have been preaching. There is no miracle inside. There is losing. Suffering. Sacrificing. Dying. But that is the message of Christianity. Obviously, that you are thinking about it too. But Jesus was the one who said it too.
Yes,
if we will come after him, we have to deny ourselves. Take up the cross and follow him. What was the cross? It was a place of losing. It was a place of suffering. It was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of dying. And it was Jesus who taught us. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone.
Pastor,
it is because you have refused to fall into the ground and you have refused to die and you have refused to pay the price. That is why you are still alone.
ɛno na ɛma star ahokyerɛ no ɛne nneɛma nkɔ yie no
wok a woyɛ baakopɛ
na awurade no yɛdi n'akyi
ɔba 2024 years ago
mfie mpi mmienu na aduonu nan
to fall into the ground
ɔbɛtɔɔ fɔ
and die
ɔbɛ tɔɔ fɔ na
ɔwuyɛ that is why 2024 years
after when
everybody knows about him
obia da so kai yesu
no matter where you are in this world no matter your religion every time you write the date and you say today is the 7th of March 2024 you are saying today is 7th March 2024 years since the death of Jesus Christ.
Whoever you are,
some of you, you lost your profession to become a pastor. You were doing something else. And people make you feel as if you are out of your mind. How could you leave your job in the bank and come and be a pastor? And they make you feel as if you are not thinking properly. But today I came to encourage you that Jesus saw what you lost.
Yes,
and that losing has a reward.
By all means.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Losing. You have to lose something. Some of you, the reason why your children have not followed you was because you didn't allow them to suffer something. When you are a child of a pastor, there's a certain suffering that's for you. When you are the child of a pastor. All night, no bekobi. Even if you are going to sleep on the floor, you will go some.
You go some.
It's part of your suffering. But you have allowed your wife to convince you that you should leave the children in the house. When you leave them in the house, you don't know what they are watching. I say you don't know what they are watching. You don't know what they are watching. I'm talking to some people in the church. Recently, Bishop Dag has just finished a crusade.
It's
in a town called Diego. In the north of Madagascar. We have two children there. With their wives and their children. And everybody went to that crusade. I tell you, you should see the pictures of the road. They were on the road for 4 days. Husbands, wives, children. People will say we are crazy. But Jesus said, pick up your cross. Follow me. That's where it was happening. You have left yours in the house. That's why when Satan was passing, he saw that the window was open. And he entered and your child was there. And you were not there. You were here.
Satan caught to Obano.
The church is very quiet.
Why you did do?
I hope it's a quietness because we are thinking. Quietness, yeah. So we were looking at the pictures of our grandchildren as they were on this journey. Remember that now they were grandparents. We're like, oh,
Yeah,
hey, 3 days, how is it? Then one of our sons jumped on the page. Now, it's a family page.
Your family know you baby at that platform something, but your man back.
He said, because you are grandparents, that's why you are saying what you are saying. What we are doing, you did us some.
Also, we had a 19 hour casa, and I won't know.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Losing.
Yes, so should it be
suffering?
And so, who money?
Sacrificing.
It
is part of the ministry. In fact, it is the ministry. Oh yes.
Yes, ampa.
In our ministry, when you are going to start a church.
Yes.
We are not coming to buy instruments for you. The room has become quiet on me. You want instruments to play? Who is going to play it?
Now, one day, Kobo.
Win your souls. Win your souls. And bring them. And teach them how to give offering.
Now, chira omu kwa na efaso jeje intubwa.
And when it's working, come. We shall discuss it.
Now, fi wabari ya junjwe ho.
The reason why they are misbehaving.
Yenti ya omu di zengunu.
You are pampering them. Buying everything for them. So they don't know. They don't know how difficult it is. The church is very quiet.
Hey, why are you? So, I'll catch the chairman and say, dear, if you know, call man and Toby.
You should ask Reverend Seth.
Also, there be some.
I sent him. Reverend Seth is one of my favorite workers. He's a son to me.
Oh yeah,
me
papa.
Walk around. I mean, everything I'm doing, he's with me. And he's in a branch.
So on a branch, you know, down on.
He has a good church.
Oh, was circus here,
but the rent was increased last year.
Now you two on the dino, baby.
Three times.
You two imprensa.
I said, oh, I have to help this my son. Ah. I took it to our bishop's council meeting. He said, oh, we have to help them.
So we help them. This
year, January.
January, yeah.
His rent is due in June. I called him.
I'm a friend.
I said, brother, you want to continue having that church? You raise the money yourself. I won't give you a dime.
Say, dear. And I tell
I won't give you one city.
Me mau city bakubo.
He used to come around my church when he sees that there's an extra something, then he'll pick it.
Obama said, no, who said, I didn't see your car.
I said, you are on your own.
Say, dear, why are you not
popping? If you use microphone, it's the one you have bought.
Mike, I'll be using Wako told you. Who said, I'm a dad, champion, who have a
I'm talking to somebody. And I'm talking about my person. Is it because I've met him back? No. As soon as he got that message,
no, this no.
His whole behavior has changed. Hey, straightened up. Praying about his rent.
Let's say their
mommy is not there again.
Let's say their mommy edged you.
I'm with you in spirit. Don't worry, but you will pay your rent.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If I don't do that,
so my name is,
he will not grow up.
Onyini.
And if he doesn't grow up,
now, onyini, so,
everybody that comes from his part of the ministry
so,
will also not grow up.
Also, so, onyini.
Have you seen how your teenage children eat? Your teenagers, the children, have you seen how they eat? They are children, that's why we allow them to eat. Will you allow your son who is 35 years old to come and live in your house and eat like that for your child?
Hey!
No! I used to have a nice young man living in my house. He was my son's roommate. From a difficult background, nice guy. He stayed there many years. Then he started working.
No, shall say so. Yeah, Juma.
Nice. Oh, when he leads prayer, it's sweet.
Prayer. Who say yes?
Then he said, I'm thinking of marrying.
No,
I smiled. I didn't say anything.
Mr. Man, can
last year I called him.
Friend.
Brother,
bra.
It's time to exit.
Say,
find a house.
Kope baby.
Pay rent. Pay light bill. I said, you cannot marry a woman when you are in my house. And then now you don't know what it is to be responsible. Recently we were having a chat with a younger man in the church. And he started talking. He said, Hey, mommy. Nowadays, if you come to my house, you leave light bulb on, what I would do to you, Because now he's paying
light bill.
Then he said he remembered the conversation he had with my husband. He said he remembered the conversation with my husband. My husband had put some lights outside the house. And he had come and told my husband, oh, the lights are not enough outside. You know, we have to have some more lights at this side. And he said, my husband told him, David, the light is okay. It's enough.
I was like, can you know, are you okay? Are you?
He said recently where he's staying.
Baby, on the table.
The landlord came and said, the lights you have put in the front is not enough. You have to put some at the back. He told the landlord, it is enough.
It is enough.
Why? He has become a responsible man. Responsible man. He's now paying his bills himself. Now if he says he'll marry, thank God, he'll know what to do, how to look after a home. So why are you still pampering your young pastor? When they are young, we have, but now he's a man. How you have prayed to do what the work of the ministry is, how he also must now rise up.
Sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many senior pastors have got ulcer. Senior pastors. Yeah. High blood pressure.
High BP.
Why? Because when the young pastors are sleeping, they are thinking. The offering for this month. It's not enough to pay for this and this and this, and they are calculating. And while they are calculating, the young pastor, when you call him to pray, cry, he's even angry with you. He's angry with you. He says you don't like him. That's why you are not giving him. That's why you are riding a comfortable car. You have left him to be walking. Yeah. Text him and say, you want a car? You work and buy it.
Upe car. Ye jumana koto.
Tell him my answer is enough.
Me also na manya ya funkro na ye.
My BP no is enough.
BP na manya na ye.
Right now.
Se se de.
When I'm up praying, you will also be praying for yours.
Se se no me bon pay am on. We yin nti se se we yin.
We have a saying in Lighthouse.
Ye wo kasabi ya ka wo Lighthouse ya so
mo. If you can build it, you can have it.
So,
if you can build it, you can have it.
Yeah.
If you can build it, you can have it.
Nobody
is coming to dash you anything.
Oh, mrao she utia. Somebody is for friend Dodi. Wow, Dana, a banana Wadi.
Yeah.
Dodi.
Otherwise,
of God.
Our fathers will die early.
And you know, yeah, Jano, we wouldn't tell them, but we wouldn't tell them.
From the stress.
Stress and how no brain does no do. You are preaching good.
Let's see. The fathers are happy. The sons are worried.
I'm afraid I'm pekura. I suffer from pepperi phone any age pa. Mama yena.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do we have time to take one more? We're talking about the 10 mistakes. Top 10 mistakes. Wow. Let me pick something. One last one for this session. Everything is in the book, yes.
Everything is in the book.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, Omina, you're important to
so. Nina, so who you? Oh, who you cry?
So important.
Nina,
that's why I'm struggling to find which one to open.
Tina, may bless me, who you may you cry? But you put on the rest of the light. One source of light, reminder. Where than I am a high school.
Hallelujah. I'm picking one last one. I tell you, this one. Oh, Lord Jesus. The last one that we'll do for this afternoon. Receiving honor from men. Receiving honor from men. John 5:44
says,
how can you believe which receive honor one from another? How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only?
And
he puts down some examples.
No man,
if we do things because we want people to honor us.
Say or because
we want the respect of men.
Say
we will make some wrong decisions that will affect us. And I quickly want to go through the 7 examples he has given us. The first one, he says, the honor of men will prevent you from becoming a pastor. Because people do not respect pastors. They feel that it's a lot of sacrifice. But the same people who are complaining about your sacrifice will let their children do more than that if it is money that is bringing.
Come in.
I'm saying that the same person who is saying, that if too much sacrifice for their child to become a pastor, but that same person will not mind at all. If the UN has come for the son and send the son to Sudan where there's war, no problem.
Sir, United Nations is in the bomb messing in Sudan.
Because it brings money. Yeah. So if you look for the honor of men, you will not be a pastor. The honor of man will prevent you from having a church. Why? Because many times when you want to even build your church, you have to go to an area that is not so developed, that's not so well known. Amen.
Amen.
And if you are looking for the honor of men, you will not go to that place. You want to build your church at airport residential area. I'm even afraid to ask how much the land will cost, if it even exists there. And so you may find that you have to go to a certain kind of place. And if the Lord is leading you there, go there. Lighthouse began in Kolegono. It wasn't an honorable place at all. The land was a baller. And that's what they sold to us and we used it. I'm talking to somebody today. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The honor of man will guide you to marry the wrong person. Because instead of looking for a spiritual woman, One day, Bishop Dag's wife, she told the true story.
Bishop Dag,
and she said, two missionaries who were preachers in another country, they needed to marry and they came to see her. And when they came, then they said, please, mommy, we need wives. We need wives. And she asked them, she said, oh, I'm not a good matchmaker, but I'm sure I can, you know, pray about it and see, suggest some ladies. What type of lady are you looking for?
She said,
what type of lady?
What type?
She was expecting to hear things like a prayerful lady.
Oh,
or somebody who is not afraid to go on the mission field. Do you know the answer she got?
Oh, say,
oh, somebody with the breast around 36, the hips about 44.
And then a bishop died.
She was shocked. Man of God. Sent to start a church in another country. Nothing spiritual. And she said the sad story part of this story is that she said after some time she met one of them with the wife. I see, her hips are about
44.
She said when she told Bishop Dag, Bishop Dag said, so the guys, how do they even know that it's
44? And
she said that marriage didn't survive. Didn't survive. He wanted to be seen. Oh, he has a beautiful wife.
Nice.
But that is not what will help. Of course, if your wife is beautiful, it's an additional blessing.
Oh, so you don't want to
be the base, main reason or the main thing.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are almost done. Tell neighbor, we are almost done. He says, the honor of man will stop you from preaching the right message.
Preaching.
You'll be preaching something, you want them to just be excited. Paul said, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. Wow. The honor of man will prevent you from raising funds for the ministry. Things that you need in the church. The honor of man will make you acquire things you should not have.